Toccoa Falls College in Toccoa Falls, Georgia. Since 1907, TFC, glorifying God through seeking and developing leaders who will impact the world for Jesus Christ. More information on TFC, call 706-886-7299 or visit them online at tfc.edu. That's tfc.edu.
Hey, SGNP wants to thank their newest sponsor and underwriter, Blinkist. And today you say, what is Blinkist? Well, let me tell you a little bit about them. In today's age, it's hard to find time to sit down and learn more. You know it is. It's not easy when the likes of social media can be so addictive and time-consuming, and you think you don't have time to read a book anymore or develop yourself. There is an app I can highly recommend. It's called Blinkist. Stick around to the end of the show today, and I'm going to tell you all about Blinkist, but you got to stick around to the end of the show because this app will change your life. Blinkist, it's spelled real easy, B-L-I-N-K-I-S-T. Stick around to the end of the show and learn more from Southern Gospel News Podcast.
Welcome to SGNP. Sit back for the next few minutes and hear stories heard nowhere else on radio, in a magazine, or on the internet. We're the audible voice of gospel music. Our sole purpose at SGNP is to inspire, edify, encourage, and entertain. Now, here's our host, Darren Sutherland, and his partner, Southern Gospel Music Association president and lead singer for Dolly Parton's own quartet, The Kingdom Heirs, Arthur Rice. What's wrong with living right anyway?
And welcome today to SGNP, Southern Gospel News Podcast. I'm Arthur Rice. And got Jeff Turner on the line here today with us doing the show. And hello, Jeff. How you doing?
Hi, Arthur. Doing great.
A little different show for us today. Darren is still recuperating from his heart surgery. He's doing very well and wanted me to pass along. He appreciates so much the prayers and calls and texts and everything. And he just really appreciates it. He's doing good. He's just not quite up to par yet, and so we're going to give him the day off. And Jeff, we've got a great guest today. It's going to be fun. We've got McCray Dove on with us, and it's going to be fun.
I'm on the line.
There he is. How about that? That was quick. Yeah. How you doing, pal?
Doing great. Doing great. I'm afraid all of y'all are.
Doing good. Well, thanks for being with us today. We appreciate it.
An honor to be on the program.
Well, We're just gonna talk about what's going on with McCray and what's going on with the Dove Brothers, and you've had an exciting career so far. So folks want to hear about it.
Well, I actually started singing it like everybody. I started singing in church 4 or 5 years old, and I went to my first quartet singing. Actually, it was the Hopper Brothers and Connie and the Dixie Melody Boys. And this is back when Kurt Talley was playing bass guitar and singing a few songs with the Hoppers.
Yeah.
You know, so
yeah. Mm-hmm.
A long time ago. And so they came out and sang, and then here come the Dixie Melody Boys with Paul, bass singer, and they were all dressed in red suits. I mean, like fire engine red, man. Three-piece suits, and walked out on the stage, and I was sitting on the front row, and they hadn't even sang a note. And people stood up and gave them a standing ovation, and they started singing, and I got hooked on it. And joined a quartet, a man by the name of Gerald Milligan, who had the Serenaders back in the 50s and 60s of what they called the glory days of quartet singing. And he was back during those days with the Statesmen, the Blackwoods, and the Fevers, and so on. So I joined his quartet when I was 13. Of course, that hadn't changed yet, so I was singing tenor. Then all of a sudden, about between 14 and 15, my voice started dropping. There was nothing I could do about it, and at first I thought, oh, man, my career is over.
It's over before it even started.
Yeah. I said, oh, man. And so Gerald looked at me, and he said, no, son. He said, because he was playing piano singing lead, he said, we'll just get us another tenor, put you singing lead, and that'll put me where I can concentrate totally on the piano. So I did that. Got a phone call from Ed O'Neill and looking for a lead singer. So I went and auditioned with him, and 17 years old. I graduated in June of that year, and August the 1st, I climbed on his bus and stayed on it for 11 years.
That's the first time I met you there. I guess, what, 87? I was
18. 87.
And, and yep. we sang We sang quite a bit with you guys there for a while.
We sure did. We did Seminole, and we would do Westminster, Maryland together. I think at that time they were still having the all-night sing.
Yeah. We went to several of those. We
worked those together. Yeah. And
those were fun times. I know you were exciting, man. And it was good.
You know, this is funny, man. My first weekend with the Dixie Miller Boys, we sang at Watermelon Park. And, man, it was on there with the Masters 5. Man, there it was. Because that was the style that when I sang with Gerald Milligan, that was it. I mean, that was that kind of arrangements and so on. So, man, Jake Hess, James Blackwood, and Hovey Lister, and J.D. Man, I was pumped up, man. I mean, and so we come out there, and we sang, and crowd, you know, big response. But after it was over, we went right down the road. Ed looked at me and he said, hey, Mac, the only way he can do it, he said, Mac, glad to have you in the group. I think it's going to work out real well. But I tell you what, if you'll just back off about 50%, I think we'll have it. And I was going at it, man. Wide open time. That bell rang. I was wide open. And I learned a lot from it. I learned a lot of surviving, you know, when things, you know, come up. And
yeah,
that was one thing he was great at, you know, don't let changes scare you. And so I went through those, but had opportunity to sing with my brother, and there was a sound, and I'm a real big fan of that 50-60 type harmony.
Uh-huh.
Arrangements, those sixth notes and seventh notes. And I just felt like if you could put together a young group and the image as well, I just thought it would work. And so I knew I would never know if it would work or not unless I just stepped out. So I had the opportunity. I knew my brother could sing in parts of high or low, you know, sing baritone with me, sing a lead note if needed. And so that was a hard decision because I'd been with Ed so long. And I told Ed what I wanted to do. And I said, Ed, I'll stay with you 5 years. Ed just bought a new bus, and you know how that is.
Yeah.
You hate to have a chance. And I said, Ed, I'll stay 5 years. And I'll stay with you, pay the bus off. And I stayed about a year, and Ed came to me, and he said, Mac, he said, I know what this is, what you love. And he said, I know you got ideas. And he said, I've been there. He said, I'm not telling you to leave, but I think if you're going to put it together, now's the time. And so so I stayed a few more months until he found somebody. And so then we started. I knew Berman sang, my brother, we looked for a tenor. And the original idea was we thought we would start out with Jerry Martin. But he had the opportunity to go over to Kingsman. We weren't sure what was going to take place. He said, nah, man, you got an opportunity. I've been there. I know. I said, that's what you want to do. So he went to Kingsman. Things started coming together a little quicker than we thought it would. And so I tried out John Paul. And, man, he just fit perfectly what we were trying to achieve. Because I'll just be dead honest with you. The group that we were patterning ourselves by was one group. And that was Hovey Lister and Statesman. I was in conversation with Hovey. I picked his brain. Just different things that they did, the way they done it. And their number one thing he told me was practice, practice, practice. So for a solid year, we would practice every Friday, Saturday, or Saturday and a Sunday afternoon, but we would practice 8 hours a day. Sometimes it would be just two songs. And so we wanted to get the sound as tight as possible. And so we recorded the first record, and then we did what I really wanted to do on our own, which was the Getaway Jordan album. So I called Hovey and I asked, did he mind if we recorded Getaway Jordan? He said, nah, I don't mind. He said, I'll just say this. He said, would you do me a favor? And I said, yeah. He said, if you do record it, it goes well with you for 1 year, at least let them know where you got the arrangement from. I said, you got a deal. And he said, no, I'll give you some advice. He said, Getaway Jordan's a hard song to sing sometimes vocally. Only thing I can tell you, don't let up and don't let on. And so I took that advice, and it was amazing sitting with him and Jake and just picking their brain and trying to use it, and because that's what we wanted to do. We had no idea that we're, I mean, people ask me now, I said, man, how'd y'all get to a certain level so fast? Man, I can't tell you. I mean, it happened. I mean, yeah. There was no formula, I guess the right timing or people were, you know, ready to see that. So anyway, we did it for, well, we've been going now. I had the new Dub Brothers, which was me and Tony. My brother came off the road with his back and he was really struggling with that. And so, I tried a little band thing because the sound, I didn't have the singers. Not that they couldn't sing. It was just the magic wasn't there. They didn't have the knowledge of what we were trying to accomplish. So I had to change. And so it was still pretty good with, when Martin came, because when John came out, moved to Tennessee, then Jerry was ready to and his wife at that time to move back to Bladenboro. So it just kind of worked and that worked fine, but we had to switch a little bit. We had to go from the Rosie era and try to accomplish the Denver Crumpler Cat Freeman era. So we went in the studio and did an album with Mosey Lister and let him pick all the songs, arrange all the songs. And I learned more about arranging in 3 days with him. It was a highlight of my career. Just to sit and watch him work, man, he was amazing, man. He could just write. It was funny, though. First day, he comes out and he sets all the arrangements. First song, we do this first. He sets the arrangement out on the stands. My brother looks over at me. I could read some, and David Hester, who was singing bass at Bummer's Place at that time. And so we looked, I said, hey, I said, Mosey, I said, we got a problem. He said, what's that? I said, well, I can read a little bit. I think Jerry can read a little bit. And David came, my brother can't read a lick of it. He said, yeah, that makes things a little different. He said, I promise you in 3 days, y'all be able to read some. And sure enough, man, by the third day, he could throw it out there and everybody pretty much just could go. So it was an honor to do that with him.
And, that was a great album. That was a great album.
As far as vocally and arrangement-wise, that's about where it recorded.
Set me free.
Well, I want to cross over and see my Lord.
I'd be happy to find what the end might be.
Well, I want to cross over and see my Lord.
One day I was walking along.
Well, I want to cross over and see my Lord.
I heard a voice, but a whole new one.
Well, I want to cross over and see my Lord.
Well, the voice I heard sounded oh so sweet.
Well, I want to cross over and see my Lord.
Came down from the head to the sole of my feet.
Well, I want to cross over and see my Lord.
So get away.
Get away, Jordan.
So get away.
Well, I want to cross over and see my Lord.
My battle be done and my victory's won.
Well,
Now, you and Jerry and Berman and of course your brother, y'all kind of grew up together, didn't you? Grew up in the same
Yeah, me and Berman was in the same grade, and Eric and Jerry was in the same grade.
Yeah.
So
did y'all sing
really anything? Eric and Jerry were buddies. Jerry sang, but he wasn't singing a tenor at that time. But he hadn't found that switch. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
You know, sang with him one day, and we're working on tones that I had learned from Hamill and different ones. Now, this has been just back by Dick's Metal Boy days. Well, Jerry wanted to sing tenor. And at that time, he'll tell you, at that time, maybe he could sing an A flat. And so me and him worked on some different tone placements. And he was riding down the road after we were doing that. And that's what he says. He said, because you know as well as I do, I used to pick your brain as well.
Yeah.
There's a buzz. When you get it placed right, your whole front of your face will buzz. You'll feel it. Slide right in there.
Yeah.
And he found it, and that was it. I mean, man, he went from singing A-flats to A-flats above high C's. I mean, man, yeah.
I tell you, that kid don't have a top. He don't have a top. I don't know where he's
at.
But that
changed. When he came, that changed our sound because I wasn't but so high, my brother was higher. So in order to put Jerry in that climbing gear, he was a better singer than Rula Paul, or Rula Paul was a better singer than him, just the ranges were different.
Right.
So Rula Paul was a lot of fullness and power, you know, A, B flat. He'll tell you, A, B flat, pop D or something here and there. But to get Jerry in his power range, you had to go up three steps.
Right.
You know, so me and Eric did a lot of flipping because for it to blend right, and because my voice was way thicker and bigger, so to go up there, it didn't match good up under. I mean, Hamill used to tell me all the time, "Fine, I love you, but I wouldn't have you in this group sing too big," you know, because you know how Hamill, he wanted that, you know, he wanted that knocking your head off. And I didn't have that type of tone. So
yeah. Well, you know, that's kind of, you know, when Real Paul auditioned with us, that was kind of the same way. Not taking anything away from his singing, but he wasn't really high enough to sing about me. And so
but he was right, perfect.
It changed.
Yeah, it changed our sound.
Yeah,
and so we had that mid-range sound and a power sound.
Right.
It was,
And
so for me, with Rula Paul, I could sing up under him a lot.
Yeah.
But now when we were doing like the way we would do Rain and Getaway, when we get to the end, and my brother would take it because man, I started doing running and jumping. I ain't had nowhere. You know, you start singing too rare, you're gone.
You're shot.
I mean, you know, you start singing well, like we did a reunion in Memphis. I made a move that I used to do all the time, not steps. I'm talking about every once in a while, I just kind of take off running if I felt like it. And when I did, I said, "Oh, I just messed up." and I knew right then I was toast. I mean, because that tone was going through the air instead of sitting on top of the air. And oh, my time of day.
Well, you know when that happens, though, it's.
Oh, yeah, you're just, yeah, I was praying the whole time on those encores. I was like, "Lord, please help me find some air somewhere."
Well, you know, sometimes it's not really so much air as it is support. You know, you're doing so much, you don't have the support to push it, you know, to get it. It's not that you can't breathe. You don't have, your diaphragm wore out, you know.
Yeah, it's gone. It's gone.
Yeah. Yeah.
So then you go from singing like Hovey to singing like Buddy Thrasher on
yes.
He used to do the what was it, the song they used to do where he would sing till he couldn't sing no more, Heavenly Parade.
Yes.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Heavenly Parade.
Yeah.
And so you go from that, but
he was thrashing it all right.
Oh yeah, man! I used to love what they would come to Fayetteville, man. Oh, gracious!
They were excited. That could tear up a crowd. That's for sure.
Oh, unreal! I mean, just come in, they would come in and leave, and it just be dust.
Yeah.
And they'd just come in, and it was just, but. So, we, you know.
I want to back up just a minute. Pause right here. I want to back up and talk about the practice part of it, the rehearsal part of, you know, most singers, most groups now, they don't really understand what that is and how important that is. I was kind of raised the same way, you know, I was singing with a local group, you know, we rehearsed every week, whether we sang or not. And, you know, sometimes twice a week, you know, and even to this day, I would just as soon rehearse as sing on stage. I love just getting around the piano and singing.
Yes.
There's just something
just to
about
create.
Yeah. And a lot of groups don't know how to do that anymore. They don't know that it takes, you know, you gotta rehearse. And we talked about this on the show before, how, you know, you gotta prepare and be ready, you know. And it's an unheard of trait nowadays, seems like.
Yeah, and even before we did the reunion, we practiced probably almost 6 hours working on trying to remember, you know, what we did. And then when you get older, you know, the placement changes. And so you have to find where you can place it at 50 that, you know, that the place is not quite the same as it was at 25. So
yeah, the easy placements are kind of
yeah,
gone.
Yeah, it ain't gone. So you have to find another way to do it. And so that was the thing there. And when we recorded the Getaway Jordan, I mean, which is actually called Quartet Way, that's what got us on convention. I just sent it to Maurice and the board members, and because I wanted to hear what we were doing. And one night I get a call from Maurice and Charles Burke, and first thing Maurice says, is that y'all really singing? Because we started in 98, but we didn't go full time till 99. So we practiced that whole time, really, by from April of 98 to March of 99. We did a few, we might have sang four times. The one concert that we did do, major concert, that we had to do with two songs, was the Grand Ole Gospel of Charlie Wallace. So, but we practiced every weekend. And so I said, that's us. He said, and this is before Pro Tools. So,
I said,
that's us.
Yeah, you had to sing.
And he says, yeah, and then he said, "Well, I tell you what, if that's y'all singing on that CD," he said, "I want y'all on the convention." And so he put us on convention. So I told the guys, I said, "All right, we got to produce." And so, you know, our theory was, I know this sounds crazy, but our theory was we're going to sing some arrangements, and we're going to sing the best we can. But the last two songs, we're going to drop kick you right in the face. That's why we looked at it. We're going to go from sing, you know, two songs here, cool arrangement here, meaningful song here. But then those last two, or at that time was the last one, was Getaway Jordan. We're not worried about singing good. We're just going to have a good time. And it's going to be a lot of energy and might be a lot of encores. So,
yeah.
So that's how that came about. And then next thing we knew, the concert at the Grand Ole Gospel is what got us really kick-started. Charles Waller just took me at my word. This is what we were going to be, and that was the style, and it fit perfect in there. So we came out, we sang He'll Never Let Me Down and Give Me a Man That Can Cry. Both songs were from the Statesman album. One was during the Jake era, and then the other one was during Jack Tony era.
Yeah.
And so we did those two songs. It was kind of funny, man, because we come out, nobody knew us, and people were starting to get up and walk out. And we started singing. They turned around and came back and sat down. yeah, they did. That was hilarious, man.
Hey, we got to pay some bills, so let's take a little break right here, and we'll be right back with McCray Dub.
Hi, this is Taranda, and you're listening to SGNP.
Darren Sutherland here once again with you, and got to take a little short break and talk about one of our companies that make SGNP possible, MyPillow and Arthur. Rumor
yes.
has it they were supposed to mail you some of their new premium sheets, and
got them.
They're great sheets. and
got them.
You
got
them. But what else did you? What else did you get? I mean, you call me and you said, "Man, they sent me bed sheets like you promised." Yeah. But you said your wife was jumping them. They're jizza cotton sheets or something like that. But what else
they're
did you
great.
Get?
They sent some pillows, and so it worked out great because, of course, my wife and I have had pillows So the boys are so excited because they've got pillows now, and so they're excited. But man, I love these sheets; they're awesome. The cool thing about them is you know most of the mattresses now are so thick that you know normal sheets they won't stay on. You
right.
know, every morning you got up and you got to put the fitted sheet back on where it's come off during the night. Man, these things are great; they're really deep and we've had them on for I don't know a week or so now, and they ain't come off one time. So.
There you go. 60-day money-back guarantee. Deep pockets to fit every corner of any mattress. Ultra-soft, breathable, extremely durable, satin woven from Egypt, I believe. I think they get the cotton in there. That's MyPillow. Give them a call today, 1-800-544-8939. 1-800-544-8939. Make sure you use the code... The promo code SGNP. For MyPillow, Mike Lindell and the guys support gospel music. Why not support a company that supports gospel music? MyPillow, 1-800-544-8939. Use the offer code SGNP. Get you some like Arthur. You like them, don't you, Arthur?
I love them.
Hi, I'm Karen Peck Gooch with Karen Peck and the River, and you're listening to the best in gospel music right here on SGNP.
Hey, welcome back to SGNP, Southern Gospel News Podcast. We're so glad that you're with us. We got McCray Dove here with us today, and we're talking quartet music. Jeff, you got anything?
So then, along with those lines, McCray, didn't you guys you go backstage and change clothing and everything, come back out and...
Oh, you're talking about the Quartet Legacy Show.
Yeah,
when we did the Quartet Legacy Show, I called Charlie, and I said, Charlie, I got an idea, and you think it would work? I said, what if we did a type thing? You put together the history, all the footage, let us come out and sing that era, different songs. He was the one that came up with the idea of changing 8 different times in the program. And, man, that was, and everything was on time. So we, as soon as we finished, boom, we had to go. I mean, I remember one concert where we were changing. It was kind of dark, and one of us came out with 2 different dress shoes on. And so it was a brown one and a black one. And so but we had the brown suits, and then we had the only suit I didn't like. And Charlie picked it out. I picked out a lot of the other ones. I mean, there was the, you know, regular old quartet suits. So to speak, but he wanted this real bright color suit, man. We look like a bunch of bananas. That's the only one. That's the only one. My brother said, as soon as that show was over, he said, I took my suit and I burned it. I think I got mine somewhere, that was a fun trip. The only thing about that show was some people got it, some people didn't. Because you'd have something we didn't do, Didn't It Rain, in the show. We did Getaway Jordan because it was that era, but we didn't do Didn't It Rain, some of the stuff that we were known for. And so some people would come to the concert and they were disappointed because we didn't do a regular Dove Brothers type set because we would come out, I think, on the second half and do a little bit more. But it was the show because the show was almost two hours long. So you had to break and then finish it out, and you had to go in between film and history, same history, you know, and all the songs we were doing went with the show. So that was the only thing that we look back on it, we probably would have came out and did a 30 minutes of just us and then do the show, condense the show and do it after the break. I think folks would have been more
excited to it. Yeah.
Now the people who got it loved it. I mean, but now I'm gonna tell you, we did when we went up north with it. We got a few letters that was upset with us because it felt like we were a little bit racist. Because when you do the spirituals and had footage of one of the artists doing the spirituals, You know, the way it was set up back then, we got a couple of letters, they enjoyed the show, but that part they didn't like, but it was still history. You know, so it had its ups and it had it, you know, down. And so it was just a
well, I think that's part learning. I think that's some of what people miss, you know, when you do those spirituals, it's not, we're not, you know, there's no bigotry in it at all. And there's no fun of it, you know, at all. It's good stuff. And you know, we're trying to emulate it. You know, we can't even get close to it.
Norman Porter's favorite bass singer. If you get him pinned and say, who's your all-time favorite bass singer? It's Jimmy Jones, harmonized.
Oh, yeah.
Yep. So if you listen to the way Berman does stuff like I Love to Call His Name or Father Alone and stuff, to show you how much Berman could do it, we were singing with Charles Johnson. And back in the day, Charles sang with the, what was the group he sang with? Nightingales. He was with the Nightingales back during that time. Well, we were singing with him in Oklahoma. And he came on the bus and was talking. I said, we just recorded that album with that arrangement of the Harmonizer 4. And where the bass going, Father Alone, you know, like that. So I played it for Charles. I was playing it for him. And he goes, that's Jimmy Jones. I said, that ain't Jimmy Jones. He said, I know it is. I said, I know it ain't. He said, that's not Jimmy. He said, who is that? I said, that's Berman Porter. He said, that ain't Berman Porter. So when Berman, he stepped up on the bus and I cut it off. I said, Berman, give him a little bit of Father Alone. And he did. And old Charles said, that's scary. So we took a lot after that. I mean, we listened to Harmonizer 4, the Hummingbirds and different things.
Yeah.
We even took a arrangement that, Statesman do with Doris Akers when I get to heaven.
Yeah.
And so that's where my heart was. When we changed the style, that hurt us. I'll be the first to say, but we didn't have the vocals to pull off that. They didn't understand it. They didn't understand what you're trying to do, what you're trying to accomplish. So the ones I brought in to fill in, take Eric's place and take Jerry's place and different things, it didn't quite have that. And then that's not what they wanted to see us do. When we were invited to Memphis, I said, well, this is going to answer a couple of questions for me. And one is, I keep hearing from record companies and PR people and all this that style of music is over. I said, okay, this is going to answer two questions for me. Was the original Dove Brothers as popular as we thought we were? And is there an audience that still will accept our brand and our way of performing, which is different?
Mm-hmm.
And so the two answers that I got was yes. There's still a market there that wants to hear it. And are pretty much dying for it. I mean, that's what we got the whole time. I mean, when you sell out a product in less than 20 minutes, I mean, somebody's wanting it. George Johnson used to tell me all the time. He says, son, if they like it and they want it, they'll buy it. You know, so that was the answer I got from Memphis. And so after that, we decided, hey, you know, we'll do some selective dates. And because I pastor a little church and got a roofing business, and so Richard, he's a worship leader at his church, plus he's with the hospital, and you know, everybody's got their own thing. Three live here in North Carolina, but I live 2.5 hours from my brother. Richard lives another 2 hours from me, so we kind of spread out, so there's not so many dates we can do a year. So but after Memphis, the phone started ringing, and so this year we'll do convention this year on Monday night, and then we got to be in Oklahoma for Labor Day weekend, and Fort Worth, Texas, and you know, Fort Worth is
just quartet country.
Fort Worth quartet country in that era. So if I'm not mistaken, the State from the Black will still hold the record. Will Rogers Auditorium, they filled that one in the arena. So, I mean, I think I'm correct on that. So,
you guys were quite the buzz at the Memphis Quartet Show, that's for sure.
We had fun, man. We just asked the Lord to bless our efforts, and we said, let's sing like it's our last time we're ever going to get to sing again. And we just had a lot of fun. And so I still enjoyed it. We got a lot of talent in gospel music today. A lot of young talent, and they all got their ideas and their styles. I just don't want to see. I don't mind the new styles coming in, but I don't want to see our style brand
just go away
and be pushed
away. Yeah, and sometimes I think sometimes we talk ourselves into that by saying,
yes.
Well, people won't like it. Well, you don't know that they don't like it until you try it. And
Glenn Payne to say everybody don't like it but the people.
Right. I mean, we do it all, 5 days a week, and people that don't normally come to, the majority of our crowd they don't normally come to gospel concerts and that sort of thing. But they sure love it, and and that's why we've stuck with it all these years. I just, I said years ago, I'm not going to change. It's what I do, and I'm going to do it till nobody wants to listen to it.
Well, Arthur, you guys are making recordings of the older songs today, and I'm sure they're doing great.
Yeah,
and we need new songs. Ain't no doubt about that. But I'm telling you, man, those older songs are just something. They just got a feel to them and a lyrics that are just it's just a different thing. And when they're singing at the right time, and it seems like that they work and people just love it. And
the classics for a reason.
Exactly.
There's something to be said about four guys.
Yeah, I'm glad you called them classics. I've never liked it when they would call them old songs. I'd rather call them classics. I mean, we don't sing them because they're old. We sing them because they're good and great. And so, with the Dub Brothers, the original Dub Brothers, we'd try to do 10 or 15 dates a year. If not, we'd go when we can make it. So it was fun to get together again. We were very surprised that the sound was as close as it was, but because I hadn't sang in a quartet, that kind of singing in probably 4 or 5 years or more, and John had been off the road for a while and not singing about a year without singing a lick. I think Bob Berman still travels with a group called Jordan the Bridge, good quartet, and he sings a lot, but my brother hadn't sang and nothing like that in a long time. And Richard, he could play. I mean, he was perfect for what we were doing. And so it was fun to do it again.
You say I'm not able. I'm too young or I'm too old. And I can't sing or teach, and no title do I hold. Lord, what can I do? For I want to do my part, and I want to help the hurting. With all of my heart, I can pray until the walls come down, till there's healing. My child has gone so far. Though I try my best to reach them, their hearts just seem so hard. Lord, what can I do to help bring them back to you? family's lost and dying, and my words do not get through, but
a Sunday school teacher. You may not be able to sing, but friend, there's something that we all can do.
You can pray in your secret place, calling on His name. That's something you can do. You can pray. I can pray.
Jeff, you got anything else?
I just want to ask McCray, how long did that legacy tour last?
We did it a year.
Yeah,
we did it a year, and it cost a little bit to do, you know. So it kind of stopped, you know. Some places, you know, couldn't afford for it to come in. I mean, it was because you had the big screens and you had all this, you know. We had a lot tied in it, and so, but it was Charles Waller's the best at that, putting film together and. And I mean, it was just if you wanted to know about that era and the interviews he did with Arthur Smith and Kenny Gates and you know, Sunshine Boys and different ones, Bill Shaw. I mean, you really got an idea of how they did it and what they went through to do it, you know. So
yeah,
it's they paid the price, paved the way, and that's when I go back to, I hate to see that sound and that style and that presentation. So that's a different thing. Our deal, it's a different, the piano for us is just as important as any vocal. So mm-hmm. we've got to have the piano player to do what we do and how we do it. If you take the piano away, because originally they were like, can we get y'all four singers? And we said, well, we're not going to come without Richard, because we can't do, you won't be original. We can't do what we did without Richard. And so, when it was over with, they came up and said, man, I'm sure I'm glad y'all balked on that deal. Cause man, you're right. Because we had that long grand piano sitting there dressed a lot. I mean, it was just that look and arrangement. It just fit. And, you know, nobody had to turn around and mash a button to play the next song, or you know, we were able to focus totally on the audience. You know, you didn't have five water bottles lined up around there, and you know,
yeah. There's a freedom in that, you know.
Yeah, that was a part of that era. I mean, yeah. So if you're going to do that era, you know, those guys could sing 2 or 3 hours and never quit.
Because they were used to it. They were used to rehearsing that song.
That was exactly right. Exactly right. And so it's I'm thankful the Lord gave the original guys. We never really thought we're thankful for the Memphis Quartet show, because if they hadn't called, we probably wouldn't have never got back together. And so we're excited about what the Lord's going to do. You know, we're not going to be out there 200 and some days a year, you know, we'll sing as much as we can that our we're right in our life now will allow us to. And
yeah.
You know, one good thing, the way we do it, we don't have no bus. Everybody, once we do, everybody gets there, and you know, so we don't have that. And they have to furnish the sound system for us and that kind of thing. But, you know, so they can do a few things that we need them to do because we don't, you know, be foolish for us to sing 15 times a year.
Yeah,
setting out their rock, you know. So I mean, if it's so everybody can, you know, they know when they got to be there, and it's, you know, however they want to get there, if they want to fly, it's their business. So I want to do it.
That's good. Have y'all recorded anything new?
You know, we're fixing to go in studio and record a song. We're going to do one song, send out the radio, kind of see what it might do. It's a song that I wrote, but it sounds like it was wrote in 1955. So we said, well, if we got one that sounds old, but it's new, you know, I've never heard it before. So we just cut the track, or the track for it. And so now we're getting ready to rehearse and then go in. And it'll be an arrangement. I mean, it's not your bop, 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 bop. I mean, it's not that. It comes out the gate on a six. I mean, right at the gate. I mean, and then it cranks. But it'll feature Berman, and it'll be in the style of Keith rhythm. And so, on the verses. So,
well,
and then the tenor, the tenor will grab the melody, and we'll write. We'll go to town on our buggy. So,
well, I know people will be excited about that.
And if we do that, and we feel like it creates demand, we then got our song selections for an album, but they'll be all other than that song. They'll be all songs that we brought back, some different things that we wanted to do. I've got an arrangement in my brain for a little different on How About Your Heart. That'll be different than the way the Blackwoods did it, but it'll be. I put a range together that I felt like the way the Statesman would have done How About Your Heart, if that makes any sense.
Yeah. That'll be interesting.
Stuff like that. Yeah. It'll be a little different, a little piano break in between, you know. So, I mean, it's the so we got ideas. We're just taking our time to make sure we put them together and they're done right and they come out good, so.
Tell everybody how they can get in touch with you or buy your old music. I assume they can probably still get some of your old music.
Yeah, our best way is on Facebook. We have a Facebook page. It's the original. It's called the Original Dub Brothers Quartet on Facebook. They can message us that way, and we can take care of what they're trying to find. Some stuff we can't get because we don't own it anymore. I mean, we didn't own it at that time, like some of the Homeland stuff when we were there, and then some of the Crossroads stuff, you know, they have all that, but I can direct them there and they can get what they're looking for. But there's still some stuff that we own that we can get for them, no problem. So
that's awesome.
That, and they're interested in booking the quartet. And, like for us, we can only do like one date, you know, that week, or maybe one or two dates a month at the most. We can't go through dates because just to do one date, we have to take off 2 to 3 days from our jobs and things.
Right.
And then I have to come back on Sunday, and so does Richard. So that's why, you know, we said selective and limited dates. So, but if we can work it out, we'll do it.
Great. Wonderful. McCray, it's been great having you on the program. Thank you so much for coming and being with us.
It's an honor to be a part of it. And, you know, I've always been a big fan of you and your work, and so
I
remember back in the days when you were refurbishing bass guitars. And I don't know if you'll do that or not, but that's how far back I go. So.
Yeah, that was a long time ago.
Yep.
Well, man, thank you again for being on here, and I'm glad you guys are singing again. And I was excited to hear that y'all were at Memphis, and I was hoping that might lead to at least some limited dates out there for you guys.
Yeah, 2 weeks later, Clark called me and would we sing on Monday night. So we got, you know, everything worked out. And so that wasn't too bad for Berman and John because they live right there. So we got it worked out. We'll be on that first Monday night of it. So, well, Man, I sort of appreciate it. Love y'all, and I'm going to get back to Rufus.
Thanks, pal. Appreciate you.
Thanks, Zach.
Talk to you later.
I have heard about a Savior ever since I was a child. How he came to save lost sinners, even though they were defiled. How he left his home in glory, bearing grief that was unheard. It was such a wondrous story. I believe it every word. And now my soul has been set free since the Savior lifted me. When he gained the victory on the cross of Calvary, he has satisfied my soul. Has made me whole. I've been saved and sanctified all the days of my life. I had heard a preacher preaching. I had heard the old folks sing of a babe born in a manger who had come to be the king. How he walked upon the water, and the billows ceased to roll. But I really came to know him when he came into my soul. And now my soul has been set free since the Savior lifted me. When he gained the victory on the cross of Calvary, he has satisfied my soul. Has made me whole. I've been saved and sanctified all the days of my life. And he has satisfied my soul, and his blood has made me whole. I've been saved and sanctified all the days of my life.
And what a great day we had here with McCray. And, Jeff, it was some good stuff there, wasn't it?
Yeah, you know, the thing I've always appreciated about McCray is his love. You know, I'm a history guy, and his love for the history of gospel music. And in the, you know, the material they did throughout the years had quite a bit of history flavor to it. So that's what I've always appreciated about McCray.
Yeah, me too. You know, I've always said that about why it's so important to keep the Southern Gospel Music Association and Hall of Fame going is, you know, if you don't know where you came from, you don't know where you're going. And we need to know this history that you know, those that blazed the trail for all of us to sing. We've got so many great new artists that are coming along that really don't know the history that's involved in our music and how much better it can be if they know that. And so I appreciate McCray and the guys sticking to the guns and sticking to the music and sticking to the stuff. It just means a lot. It really does.
Yes. Yes, sir.
It's been a fun day. I appreciate you coming on with me. And
we got through it.
Yeah. Yeah. Hope so. Hopefully we'll get Darren back here in a few days and he can run it again.
Right.
It's been fun. It's been fun. I hope you all have enjoyed it. And again, keep Darren in your prayers and for a speedy recovery. And hopefully he'll be back on here in a week or so. And we'll just keep plugging along. And Darren always asks the main question every week. He said, what's wrong with living right anyways?
I know he does. You better answer because I'm going to get it wrong. Yeah, he asked me that one time when you weren't on, and I'm like, uh-oh.
Well, the first time he asked me, I did the same thing. I kind of went, I think the answer is not a thing, I believe. Oh, it's fun. Thanks for listening to SGNP. See you next time.
Thank you for listening to SGNP. If you're listening on radio, please note you can listen to our podcast 24/7 on your own schedule. Just download wherever you get your podcasts from or visit us online at southerngospelnewspodcast.com. To hear it on your smart speaker, just ask Alexa or Google to play Southern Gospel News Podcast. And after listening, please leave a remark in the remarks section and subscribe, and you'll receive our program free every Friday. And remember to check out Southern Gospel News Podcast's social media for daily fun and giveaways. We're the audible voice of gospel music. We look to uplift you every week. SGNP, where it's all about the gospel.
I told you at the beginning of the show that when the show was over, I was going to tell you a little bit more about our new partner, Blinkist. Blinkist is the only app that gives you the best need-to-know information from thousands of nonfiction books and condenses them down to in just 15 minutes so you can read or listen. So basically, guys, it's the Cliff Notes that you used in high school. There's so many great books out there. If you're like me, you watch a TV show. They put this book out and you said, man, I'd love to read it, but you don't have time. Blinkist condenses that book down and you can use Blinkist to help you. 8 million people are using Blinkist right now, and it has a massive and growing library from self-help books, business books, health books, religious books to history books. I like Blinkist because it gives me information fast. I use Blinkist when I'm driving my truck down the road and I can hear it through my app on my phone. And I recommend you check Blinkist out. Right now, for a limited time, Blinkist has a special offer just for our Southern Gospel News Podcast listeners. Go to Blinkist.com/Southern Gospel News Podcast to start your 7-day free trial. That's right, free of charge, no money. Go to Blinkist, B-L-I-N-K-I-S-T, /Southern Gospel News Podcast.com and start your 7-day trial. It's that simple. And hey, tell your friends about it. Tell your neighbors about it, because a lot of you like to read. I read Bill Gaither's biography by Ken Abrams through Blinkist. Then it had me go back and get the whole book and read the whole thing. It's a great little thing. Blinkist, thanks for sponsoring SGNP, and thanks for using Blinkist.